Mic working okay?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? All right. How's Tabernacle doing this morning? You know, I can get silly sometime. I'm going to try not to get too silly, okay? But y'all know, I used to say that my hair may be nappy, but my soul's happy.
Yes, sir.
I forget, we're online, aren't we? I probably shouldn't have said that. Amen. God is worthy. He's worthy.
Amen.
To be praised. If he's done a lot for you, when I say he's worthy to be praised, that's a lot to shout about.
Right.
And to clap about. And to jump up and down about. And to wave your hand about. He's worthy. He is truly worthy. I'm going to try to just jump right into the word here. I appreciate Sister Boozer. I was working on a message. I thought I was ahead of it. And you preachers know what I'm talking about when I say this. And I felt real good about it. I was thanking God for getting me ahead of it so I could relax maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I got the information down and that we're supposed to put on the screen and what have you. And I got it down Wednesday. And I sent it to Sister Boozer. And the sermon was called There's a Stranger in the House.
All right.
But somehow, some way, Thursday morning when I got up, late Thursday, the Lord changed the message, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But my sisters and brothers, let me say this before I get started. That I have truly, truly, truly been blessed.
Amen.
You see, it was 1980, May 18th, 1980. And I was sitting, Mark, is that you, Mark, right there? I was sitting by where Mark was at.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel on May 18th, 1980. Because that's the day I accept Christ as my personal Savior, right here in Tabernacle. Donald Thompson was preaching the gospel for the first time. I literally heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God drew it to me.
Come on.
Me to Him, I should say.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was here that I attended the Tabernacle School orientation for 6 months at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after I finished, they asked me to be the director, and I was like, no, I don't know anything about that. And then I moved from there to the kitchen, and from the kitchen to grounds, and I moved from there to witnessing, and I moved from there to teaching Sunday school, and I moved from there to, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But all along, at age 13, I was called to preach the gospel.
All right.
But it wasn't until I was 33 years old that I accepted right here my calling right here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and I preached my first sermon.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm tied and connected for the rest of my life to Tabernacle Baptist Church.
Yeah.
They say when you preach your first sermon and the pastor here licenses you, you become a son of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I always will be tied to Tabernacle Baptist Church.
All right.
No matter what anybody thinks or what anybody says.
Right.
It was here that my wife Sylvia didn't accept Christ, but we were unevenly yoked at the time we got married, that she also joined. I was baptized here. She was baptized here because she was a Methodist.
Come on now.
It was here that our three children was dedicated and baptized also.
Yeah.
It was here. It was here one day Pastor Thompson called me and asked me to join the staff full-time on payroll to be the minister of outreach. And it was here a group of us got together and went to Soda Pass and talked class. You remember that, Julia? You remember that, Harold? William and some others. It was here that I grew up into a Christian soldier, and I'm still growing. And so to my Tabernacle family, in the words of Whitney Houston, I will always love you. I will always love you. I will always love you. And to, listen, I'm going to say something. I'm just real. I'm still growing. But one thing I feel without question always when I walk with Jesus and God, that I always try to keep it real. I never try to fake them out because God, Jesus, they already know everything. But that lady to my left, sitting by herself, Tabernacle, we will not have any problems. I'm talking about the folks who may not know her, in particular men. As long as they don't mess with her or try to make a move on her, we'll be all right. Sylvia, stand up for me. Take your mask off. Let me show how pretty you are. That's a fine sister. I should know. I should know, we've been together for 49 years. We dated three, and we're going on 46. And I know some of you here got me beat on that, but Sylvia, you already know this. We tell each other this, if not every day. We still kiss each other goodbye, and the list goes on. But Sylvia, you know, I will always love you. Amen. Let's get to the word. There's a well-known scripture in John, and John 8:32. John 8:32 simply says that the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The truth of the matter is that the truth will set you free. But I want to tell you today, but also the truth will hurt you first. The truth will hurt you first. So as I move through the gospel, the word of truth, my goal is not to hurt you. It may, but the truth hopefully will set you free. And to my brothers and sisters in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to the Tabernacle family, and to friends that are here, and good morning. I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing me to stand here this morning to share the word. Because earth and heaven will pass away, but his word will last forever. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to give you, I'm going to pray first. I know we normally do, the tradition is we do here, we give the scripture, we give the title, and then we pray. I'm going to do probably the opposite of that. So let's do this. Let's pray. Father, we approach you, recognizing you as our God. Yes. We recognize your power. We recognize your authority. We recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know we recognize your word. For you said earth and heaven will pass away, but your word will last forever. We claim it by faith. Now, O Lord, my God, as we lift up your word, as we lift up Jesus, we ask that you be in the midst of our minds, our hearts, our spirits to receive. And no matter what's going on in our lives right now, our lives may even be shaken, but they're never broken, all because of you. You know more about your word than I do. So preach your word through this vessel. Cleanse me. Make me whole. The shout out, we know a Savior that's sweet. We know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture can be found. It's just one, but we'll go through some others. Our scripture can be found in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 1, and it reads, the Philistines seized him, talking about Samson, and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in prison. You may be seated. I'd like to talk to you this morning. I need to move a little fast because this is a long sermon. I'm going to try to minimize it. I may not even finish it. If you hear me make some shifts, I'm trying to end the sermon. And if it ends in an area that you're like, why you stop there? I'm not trying to preach long. But I'd like to share with you this morning on the subject matter, a tragedy in the life of a man named Samson. A tragedy in the life of a man named Samson. The Philistines were seized Samson and gouged out his eyes, put out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza, bound him up with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in prison. This judge that was chosen by God. Think about that for a moment. Samson, anointed judge, king of Israel, eyes ground out, bound up in chains, and in prison. Now let me stop here. I think this might be an important part for us here. And let me say this. That Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. His physical strength was unmatched. His strength was a gift from God, and had fighting capabilities that were beyond awesome. John Wick, his set of skills had nothing on Samson. Samson was awesome. But something went wrong in Samson's life. From about 1043 BC to 1398 BC, Israel were led by judges. There were no kings at that time. For about 350 years, they were judges. And over that 350 years, there were 12 judges, 11 men and one woman, Deborah. These judges were chosen by God. Their primary function was to rescue God's people from the enemies, to drive out their oppressors. They were to establish justice. They were to teach the Mosaic law as Moses revealed it. Samson's life is recorded in the book of Judges from chapter 13 to chapter 16. I must admit, it's quite a tragic life. The events that are recorded in these chapters could be on a Netflix series, or a Starz series, or a primetime series. If I was to do a series, or someone would do a series on Samson, I would call it The Tragedy in the Life of a Man Named Samson. The Samson series, if I were to do one, or someone were to do one, would have very high ratings, and this is the reason why. The series would include, in Samson's life, drama, action, revenge, disobedient, killing, vandalism, property, sex, selfishness, more killing, more backstabbing, power, violence, one-way thinking, stubbornness, and more sex, self-destruction once again, and a big ego, Samson. Some of us could play a part in this TV series. See if you can identify your part as I preach this message. Well, amen. One thing about One thing about Samson's life should teach us a lesson is this. Samson's life should teach us, hear this, Samson's life should teach us that even God's ordained servants, God's today's pastors and church leaders, can commit evil deeds against God in his church. They can lead God's people astray, tear up some stuff along the way, create chaos, steal, then move on to the next opportunity. Some of God's people. Some people believe that the church today has lost some of its power. Amen. I heard a preacher say once that the church think they're doing so well because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. I thought that was pretty strong. What went wrong in Samson's life? Samson, the judge of Israel for 20 years, gifted by the Holy Spirit to do God's will, teacher, judge, was called to deliver his people from the Philistines. Samson finds himself at the point in his life in jail, bound up, eyes out, pushing a grinder in circles, grinding meal all day long. Samson. Have you ever felt like you've been going in circles? Same old thing every day. How can a man like Samson start life so well but end so poorly? Here's how. Bad decisions cost Samson his life. In the truth of the matter, all of us have made some bad decisions. We have made some bad choices. We too have been bound by Satan on our life journey. We have been deceived by the prince of darkness. Satan has captured us, called us along the way, and he has held us hostage and put us in some form of prison in our minds. This prison feels like we also are grinding a meal, going in circles, just like Samson. Amen. And let me say something you should know already. Satan has declared war on us. Yes, he has. Satan has declared war on us. Satan has declared war on us.
Yes, sir.
John says in John 10:10, the A part of that, he's quoting Jesus, says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a war going on. And you or I are participants in the war, whether we like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you're in this war. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you receive a whole lot of good things. Just Jesus, Savior, Holy Spirit, His Word, and the list goes on. But you're in the war. So stop asking, why are these things happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? Just fight. Fight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fight in the name of Jesus. Are you winning this war that you're in? And if not, are you using the sword of the Spirit to fight Satan? Are you using your shield of faith to protect you? Are you using the power of the Holy Spirit to blow some things up? There's a war going on. Let me pause just for a moment and say a few things. I want to ask a series of questions. And all these questions may not apply to you, so don't take them personally. All these questions are not being judgmental. Just think about them. You may be able to share some of them with someone. It's what I call the why questions. Some of these why questions doesn't have anything to do with COVID in the last 3 years. It has to do with the church and the church people. So here are the why questions, W-H-Y. Why is it that there's over 100 million churches in the United States, and yet they are not making moral and spiritual impact like they should? Why is it on Sunday morning thousands of churches have more empty pews than full ones? And how do we give the account that the church members come on Sunday, but on Monday through Friday haven't made a decision or a commitment? And if we believe in the power of prayer, why is it so little prayer going on? Why is it that over 90% of churchgoers rarely go to the prayer meeting, Sunday school, or Bible study? If we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, why are we blowing some things up, particularly the crazy things that goes on, the crazy things that go on in our head? Oh, here's two. That's not going to go over too well, Kathy. Why is it so many unhappy Christians? Why are there so many Christians that are just mean? If there is no other name in heaven given unto men and women whereby you must be saved, why are we not sharing the gospel message, that amazing message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the lost? Last one. Last two. Why? Why are so many preachers? Hear this, y'all. Why are there so many preachers willing to compromise the gospel? For to attract larger crowds, and Sister Thompson, in a bigger purse. Did y'all hear that? I feel like I'm in here by myself. I didn't change the sermon. I had a sermon, it was a stranger in the house. I didn't change the sermon. Why are there so many preachers willing to compromise the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to attract a larger crowd or a bigger purse? Yes, sir. Here's the answer to all those questions I just told you. Here's the answer. The truth of the matter is that all these questions have one common answer, and the answer is simple. Many of God's people made a decision about Jesus, but many have not made a personal commitment to Jesus. There's a vast difference in making a decision to accept Christ as your personal Savior versus making a commitment to Jesus. Let's get back to Samson. Chapter 13 tells us that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they were in the hands of the Philistines for 40 years because of their bad choices. The rest of the chapter tells us about Samson's arrival. Let me take a moment to quickly tell you about that. The story starts with Samson's parents. His parents was visited by an angel of the Lord before Samson was born. Samson's birth was announced by an angel of the Lord that turns out to be God. The angel spoke to the woman and told her, "You're barren and sterile, but you will conceive and birth a son, Samson. He will be set apart as a Nazarite from the womb. No razor should come upon his head, and he's not to drink any wine. He's not to eat anything unclean. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines, and he will be powered. He will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God." The chapter ends telling us that the child grew up, and he was blessed, and the Lord's Spirit was upon him. Was upon Samson. The next three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, tells us what went wrong, the tragedy in the life of a man named Samson. What bad decisions, what bad choices, what mistakes did Samson make? There are so many stories and issues I couldn't begin to scratch the surface to tell you. But I'll tell you this, I will not be talking about his sexual relationships. I won't be telling you about how many men he killed. I may mention it briefly. I won't tell you much about the wedding when he married this lady and how he contacted her. I'll tell you a little bit about that. I probably won't even tell you about what he pushed. His scrimp came back, hip shaved, scrimp come back, and he, the arena caves and killed so many people. I won't get into all those details. I'll try to make this relevant and talk about the tragedy of his life. Samson, oh, what a life. What went wrong? The first mistake Samson made is simple. He stopped listening to God. Samson stopped getting his direction from the Lord and went out on his own. When the children of God and its leaders stopped listening to God, a lot of chaos, murmuring, foolishness takes place, and the sheep will scatter. Yes, sir. When the church stops listening to God's counsel, God's mission for the church is compromised. Samson stopped listening to God's counsel. Samson was looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. First mistake, stop listening to God. The second mistake Samson made was this. Samson traveled alone in his enemy territory, city called Tinah, a pagan city, sin city, his enemy's territory. The move Samson made demonstrated that he was on decline in his spiritual life. He leaves the land of Israel and goes visit the Philistine, and he leaves his parents, his family, his friends behind to visit his enemy. Samson had a weekend plan, a visit to visit his enemy. He went away for the weekend. He went shopping, if I can say that. He went shopping. He went to Tinah because he was shopping for a wife, a lady. All of the women that was in his hometown, he goes in enemy territory to find a honey, a wife. He arrives in Tinah and he sees this beautiful woman, and right away he said to himself, I like her. I'm going to get her. I'm going to marry her. He says that. What's interesting, but when he sees this woman, he never says a word to her. He never asks her name. He never approaches her. He just sees her and he makes a decision. I'm attracted to her. He was basing it on her physical appearance, her looks, and his hormones. His hormones start going crazy. You should read the story. It's an interesting story. It could be a series. I don't know if you showed up yet in this series, but it could be a series. Samson goes back home to his hometown. He tells his mother, because remember this angel tells about Samson and what's going to happen. He's predestined and what have you. He tells his mother and father that he met his wife. He met this lady that he's going to marry. And she's a Philistine. And they get all excited. So, no, Samson, you we're not permitted to marry outside of a heathen. We're prevented to get a wife from a pagan city. Samson, no. And Samson says, I don't care. Let me get the quote here. Samson said, you can't do this. His mother said, father said, you can't do this, Samson. She's from a pagan city. She's not. No, Samson. And he tells his parents, get her for me. She looks good to me. That's, look at the version of the Bible. That's what he says. Get her for me because she looks good to me. Caught up in emotions and feelings. Samson on the outside was a man of God, but on the inside he looked no different than a worldly man. Sometimes we have to be careful with that. She was dressed in sheep clothing. What a tragic life of a man named Samson. My sisters and brothers, let me say this. When we stop listening to God and stop seeking God's will, we too lose our way.
Amen.
We are setting ourselves up for Satan, the thief, to kill us,
yes,
to steal us and destroy us.
Yes,
he wants to destroy our lives. Satan will chew you up, spit you out, and step on you. He'll do that. Oh, I gotta move on here. Third mistake. On his way back from Tenema, pagan city, sin city, he's going back to see this gorgeous woman. He's gonna get her, he's gonna marry her. And a lion attacked Samson. And for the first time, the Bible says the spirit came upon Samson. The power came upon Samson. Same power that we have. I know y'all don't believe that. I mean, I'm not saying we can kill a lion, but it's used in a different way now. But it said the spirit came upon Samson and he killed a lion. Now, what's interesting about killing the lion? And he kills the lion with his bare hands. Remember, he's the strongest man alive, ever lived even to this day. He makes a mistake because he touched a dead carcass. Samson knew that he was not allowed, based on Jewish law, to touch a dead carcass.
Well,
it was a violation of the Spirit of God. You see, Mosaic law says if you touch a carcass, a dead carcass, you became unclean and foul. Samson. Dead carcass, unclean, foul. Another journey to Tenemud, Samson, he sees a dead carcass and he looks over and it's a swarm of bees in this carcass and it has a lot of honey inside the dead carcass. And Samson, he realized it was from the lion that he killed earlier. He goes over and he reaches inside the carcass and he gets some honey and he eats it. And the honey's so good, he eats it along the way, but he takes some with him. Mary, he takes some of the honey with him. Takes it home and give it to his mother and father, and they enjoy the honey. But he doesn't tell anybody where the honey came from, and he never told anybody he killed a lion. And you know why? Because even Samson knew then he was unclean and foul. Samson, what a tragic life. When we look into the wrong places for the wrong things, for the wrong reason, we think we know more than God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When we ignore God's instructions, his commandments, we become disobedient and we become unclean. I can hear the Apostle Paul saying that there's none righteous. No, not one. I can hear John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know the simple definition of the word righteous and unrighteousness? Righteousness simply means you're in the right standing with God. Unrighteousness simply means you're in the wrong standing from God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to place us back into right standings with him. Let me see. Let me close this out. Let me see if can I have 10 more minutes? I know you guys are out of here about 42, right? I'm excited. I'm just excited. Let me close this out. Samson travels. Let me see if I could kind of put this in a big nutshell, so to speak. Samson travels to a pagan city. First mistake, his enemy territory. He travels alone. And what's interesting about this, nowhere in the book of Judges do we see where Samson rallies the Israel army. Nowhere in Judges do we see Samson trying to assemble an army. This is important. Everything Samson done, he done alone. That's sad. Because nobody knows everything about everything. Nobody has all the answers to all the questions all the time, all by themselves, except God. Let me just scratch the surface on the women. One of you preachers, or somebody needs to preach a series, maybe a sermon series on Samson. It would blow you away. And if you want some good reading, read Samson this week. The three women in Samson's life. Can I just be blunt about it? Sex ruined Samson. That was one of the big things. Sex ruined Samson. Let me read it for you. I mean, you know what's interesting about this? That if you look at most, if you look at a lot of people, men and women over history, famous or not famous or just regular folks, why is it that sex is a stumbling block for many people, affairs and divorce, and but we never talk about it or teach it, or it's almost, no, don't talk about that. But this guy here, Samson, ordained, called by God, he hooks up along the way with three women that we know about, that they mention. One was the woman he met in Timnah. He married and was only married to her for 7 days, and that story would blow you away if you read it. The next one, he was in the city of Gaza, I believe it was. He's there, shows up, he's in Sin City, another Sin City, and he goes in this, how do you say it? She was a harlot. Y'all know what a harlot is, right? She was a prostitute. I'll say it. She was a prostitute. He went in a prostitution house. He hooked up with her, and I don't know all the words to the Jeffrey Osborne song, but it would go, I think part of it is, "One Night I Loved a Stranger." Y'all know that song? Part of it? This night he had a one-night stand with this particular woman. But there's a third woman. She also was a prostitute. And she, I want to be clean as I can with this. She. Is bip bop bam okay? She bip bop bam Samson, and lo, he gives up everything, even the secret of his script. Well, she got paid also. I don't know what her going rate as a prostitute was, but on this deal, when she gave Samson up with the high authorities, she made 1,100 pieces of silver. Oh, this is a tragic life of Samson. It's a tragic life. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The truth will set you free. And you know what? Even with all the events that occurred in Samson's house, I mean, with Samson, and say the women who portrayed him and set him up, they're not the ones should take the downfall. They were just doing their job. Samson made the choices to be with him. It's on Samson. You know, we always blame somebody else for our situation, but this is on Samson. It was the choices he made, the wrong places, the wrong things for the wrong reason. And also, I'm getting close. I only got 12 pages. I'm on 10, but there is 14 font print. Okay, Samson was a revengeful person. He had a temper. He wouldn't follow God's instruction. Samson's strength, remember, was not in his hair. Samson's strength became from the power of the Lord. When he killed the lion, it said the spirit of the Lord was upon him. When he killed the 30 Philistine enemies there, the script said the spirit of the Lord came upon him. When he killed the thousand man, it said the spirit of the Lord was on him. And towards his death, he asked the Lord, "Hey, listen, would you restore my strength? I want my revenge on these Philistines." I'm not going there. Y'all know the story? Samson, I'm going to say something, and I hope this helps somebody. Please. I hope this helps somebody. It's going to be strange, but here we go. You and I have Samson-like strength. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at some of you. You don't believe me. You and I may not have Samson's physical strength, but you and I as believers have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that came upon Samson. The same Spirit that came upon Samson. You need to believe that because it's true. See, the Spirit of God is our power source, and if you are a child of God, you've been given a power pack. Acts 1:8 says it like this: you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be. Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and the sum total of his sermon was about the power. The sermon says this, when he preached and those 3,000 people came to Christ, he was preaching in the Spirit. And he says, and this is the sum total of his sermon in Acts 2:30, it says, repent and be baptized. Wait, it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for your remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I have some power. We have some God-given power, and we're to use it. We should be blowing some things up with that power when the Spirit of the Lord shows up and he tries to affect your journey. You should be rebuking him in the name of Jesus. Samson got caught up in sin. You see, sin never elevates you, but always lowers you. Sin never builds you up, but always tears you down. Sin never comforts you. It always brings sorrow. Sin never frees us. It always binds us up. Sin never guides us, but it always leads us astray. Sin never lifts burdens, but always add greater ones. Sin never brings about a peace. It always leaves a guilty conscience. Samson lost his way. You see, my sisters and brothers, you need to understand something. There's a high cost for low living. There's a high cost for low living. Or if you don't believe me, listen to Samson. You know Samson's life. It is a high cost for low living. Now, and the question earlier in the sermon was, why are there so many unhappy Christians? Why are some Christians so mean? Samson paid a high cost for his living. Lost his strength, his eyes, his judgeship, family. This goes on. And remember this. There's a high cost for low living. And any time you make a deal with Satan, he always comes to collect at a time you're not ready to pay. Did y'all hear me when I said that over here? Anytime you make a deal with Satan, he always comes to collect a time you're not ready to pay. When Satan shows up and offers you something, put some things in your head and you don't resist him, he's all in. He has all his chips in because what he's going to get, he's trying to get all of you. He's trying to get everything he can get from you. He plans to win. Samson lost it all. In closing, please remember this. As you live, the tragedy of life is not death. Let me tell them. The tragedy of life is not death. It's what you allow to die in you while you're living. That's the tragedy. The tragedy of life is not death, folks. It's what you allow to die in you while you live. And the more of life we master, the lesser life we should fear, because true living is on the other side of fear. It's called faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have a whole lot of it. I come that to increase your peace and your joy. I come that whatever your needs are, I made your promises that I'll supply every single need according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Jesus said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus said, Lord, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. He says, you have not because you ask not. He said, you receive not because even when you ask me, you don't believe. But he says, just knock on the door and you'll receive. Just ask me, I got you. He said he will supply all of your needs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's okay to be humble. I agree with that. Jesus was humble. Jesus was meek. But understand this about Jesus. Jesus' meekness was not weakness. It was his strength under control. But also when Jesus needed to throw it down, put it down, there was a boldness. You need to be bold sometimes when Satan comes up to you and talk crazy to you. And you start that self-talk and talking back to you silently in your head. And you be trying to say, huh? She said what? And she ain't said nothing. Huh? Well, why is she looking at me anyway? And she ain't looking at you anyway. Come on now. We're somebody. Not because of who we are, but who we serve. Who we serve is a Savior, and he's sweet. I know. God bless you. May God keep you.